believing the resurrection of Jesus. Will you turn? Will you? I'm defeated. I give. Will you turn to Luke 24, please? Luke chapter 24. This is Easter Sunday. Christianity rests on the resurrection of Jesus more than any other single event in the Bible. In the book of Acts, the resurrection of Jesus was the core of their preaching. It took the early church a little while to understand why he had to die and what his death accomplished. But from the start, they preached his resurrection. And more than anything else, the early Christians followed Jesus because God raised Jesus from the dead. They took the resurrection to prove this to the world. God, imagine God speaking. God says, "This Jesus is the one person on earth that I, the maker of heaven and earth, have selected and held up. Listen to him, put your hope in him." In their minds, the resurrection made that clear. Jesus was the one person God had selected. Listen to him, put your hope in him. The sermons in Acts say more than twice as much about the resurrection of Jesus than forgiveness of sins. We think the gospel is the forgiveness of sins. In the sermons in Acts, they spend more than twice as much time on the resurrection of Jesus than they do about the forgiveness of sins, though that is included. But what people really needed to know was that God raised this person from the dead, so you listen to him and you put your hope in him. I know that because I went through all those sermons and checked. Paul himself was clear. If Jesus was not raised, there is nothing left of our faith. It's useless. But God did raise Jesus from the dead. So Luke 24 has three scenes and an epilogue. And they're basically all scenes about people being convinced. So the first scene is about the women early in the morning. The second scene is the two followers who walk to Emmaus and meet Jesus on the way. And the third scene tells of all the followers together later that same evening. All of this happens on that first Easter Sunday. And then there's a brief conclusion, probably a different day, where Christ blessed them and ascended. Luke 24 is not the story of Jesus rising from the dead. By the end of chapter 20, verse 1, he's gone. The stone is rolled back and he's left. Jesus is out of the tomb by the end of verse 1, risen and gone. We get no details. This is a long chapter about how his followers figure it out that Jesus rose from the dead. We need to know how his followers figured it out because our faith hangs on this story. What did it take to convince the women and the men that Jesus had actually risen? All right, scene one. The women are convinced. I'm going to start in 23:55. Which is still on Friday at the end of the day when Jesus died, was buried. 23:55. The women who had come with Jesus from Galilee followed Joseph and saw the tomb and how Jesus' body was laid in it. And then they went home and prepared spices and perfumes. But they rested on the Sabbath in obedience to the commandment. But on the first day of the week, very early in the morning, the women took the spices they had prepared and went to the tomb. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb. But when they entered, they did not find the body of the Lord Jesus. While they were wondering about this, suddenly two men in clothes that gleamed like lightning stood beside them. In their fright, the women bowed down with their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still with you in Galilee, The Son of Man must be handed over to sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. And then they remembered his words. When they came back from the tomb, they told all these things to the 11 and to all the others. It was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the others with them who told this to the apostles. But they did not believe the women because their words seemed to them like nonsense. Peter, however, got up and ran to the tomb. Bending over, he saw the strips of linen lying by themselves, and he went away, wondering to himself what had happened. The picture up here got that. Okay, that's the linens. Nice work. So, on that Sunday morning, the women are carrying spices to anoint Jesus' body. It had not occurred to them, it was not on their radar at all, that Jesus was risen and gone. For whatever reason. What convinced the women? We need to know what convinced them. That's what this is about. Three things. One, the tomb was empty. Now, the empty tomb is a crucial part of this story. All kinds of people see spirits and ghosts and visions of dead people after they are gone. That's not rare. That's not resurrection. Those people don't have empty tombs. The tomb of Jesus was empty. Even if you don't know why, keep the empty tomb at the center of your resurrection faith. Do that. Luke 24 works hard to say that Jesus was not a vision or a ghost. Empty tomb. Two heavenly men came to the women and said Jesus was alive. That was not yet the turning point, but it made a difference. It was important. Three, the two heavenly men reminded them of Jesus' words. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee. The Son of Man must be handed over to sinful men, be crucified, and on the third day be raised again. And it says, and they remembered. That's right. He did say that. I mean, Jesus said that. It went nowhere in people. What's he supposed to do? When he says things plainly, it doesn't go anywhere in us. Not the first time that's happened, you know, or the last. Anyway, but they remembered. Yes, he said that. And that was the turning point. They looked at each other and said, that's true. Back in Galilee, Jesus did say that to us. So, along with the empty tomb and the two heavenly men, they were convinced. So they went and they said all of this to the 11, the apostles. And they did not believe. It sounded like nonsense. Scene 2. Two more followers are convinced. Now that same day, two of them were going to a village called Emmaus, about 7 miles from Jerusalem. They were talking with each other about everything that had happened. As they talked and discussed these things with each other, Jesus himself came up and walked along with them. But they were kept from recognizing him. He asked them, "What are you discussing together as you walk along?" They stood still, their faces downcast. One of them, named Cleopas, asked him, "Are you the only one visiting Jerusalem who does not know the things that have happened there in these days?" "What things?" he asked. Oh, that he's nasty. "About Jesus of Nazareth," they replied. "He was a prophet, powerful in word and deed before God and all the people. The chief priests and our rulers handed him over to be sentenced to death, and they crucified him. But we had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. And what is more, it is the third day since all this took place, and in addition, some of our women amazed us. They went to the tomb early this morning, but did not find his body. They came and told us that they had seen a vision of angels who said he was alive. And then some of our companions went to the tomb, and they found it just as the women had said, But they did not see Jesus. He said to them, "How foolish you are! How slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken! Did not the Messiah have to suffer these things and then enter his glory?" And beginning with Moses and all the prophets, he explained to them what was said in all the scriptures concerning himself. As they approached the village to which they were going, Jesus continued on as if he were going farther. But they urged him strongly, "Stay with us, for it is nearly evening. The day is almost over." So he went in to stay with them. When he was at the table with them, he took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and began to give it to them. And then their eyes were opened, and they recognized him, and he disappeared from their sight. They asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They got up and returned at once to Jerusalem. There they found the 11 and those with them assembled together and saying, "It is true. The Lord has risen and has appeared to Simon." And then the two told what had happened on the way and how Jesus was recognized by them when he broke the bread. Jesus played dumb with these two. I think the Lord was genuinely curious to know, how will they talk about him? When they're telling the story about the last 3 days, how will they say that? He wants to hear this. I wanted to know how much of his earlier teaching had taken root. It seems not enough. We had hoped that he was the one who was going to redeem Israel. Well, Jesus truly was the one who was going to redeem Israel, and they assumed that his death had put an end to their hope. That's what they assumed. And Jesus was exasperated at how slow they were to understand. "How foolish you are, how slow of heart to believe all the prophets have spoken." We have in the Gospels that Jesus said he had to suffer and die and be crucified and rise the third day. Like, he told them that, and we have that 3 or 4 times, but he probably said it a lot oftener than that. He explained from Moses and all the prophets all the things in the scriptures about himself. You know, the angels, they defer to Jesus' earlier words. Don't you remember what he said? But Jesus defers to the scripture. "You're so slow to believe the scripture." Not the women. Not what I said. "You're so slow to believe the scripture." And he explained the scripture to them. That's not where we expect us to go, but that's what he did. He took bread, gave thanks, broke it, and gave it to them. This is what Jesus did at the Last Supper. But he did the very same thing at the feeding of the 5,000. And the feeding of the 4,000. We should assume Jesus had a very unique way, a Jesus way of beginning a meal. Whatever he did, nobody else did it like that. And he did it every time he began a meal. And he did it here. And he sort of took over as if he's the host now and it's his bread and these are his guests. That was his style. And at that point, they realized, there's only one person who starts a meal like that. This has to be Jesus. And it was. They recognized him. And they asked each other, "Were not our hearts burning within us while he talked with us on the road and opened the scriptures to us?" They're scolding cheerfully themselves. Back there on the road, we should have known this was Jesus. That's Azariah. Back there on the road, they should have known this was Jesus. Weren't our hearts burning while he opened the scriptures to us? Is that not what always happens when Jesus opens the scriptures to us? When he explains the scriptures, our hearts burn. Why didn't we recognize him back there on the road? This was a repeated experience. And they wished they had been paying more attention to what was going on in their hearts while Jesus was explaining the scriptures to them. We should have known. What happened there on the road happened to them often. They should have known it. So they went back to the 11 to Jerusalem and told the 11 and the rest what happened and how they recognized him in the breaking of the bread. Scholars are passionately divided on whether or not that line hints at the Lord's Supper and that we all recognize Jesus at the Lord's Supper. Nothing in the scripture requires this to be about the Lord's Supper. That meal in Emmaus was probably not the Lord's Supper. There's no reason for that. And this line just mentions bread. But it's hard to read the words, they recognize the Lord in the breaking of bread, and not pick up some kind of a hint about the Lord's Supper in there, and that we recognize something about the Lord in the breaking of the bread, the Lord's Supper. So I'll just leave that as it is. We certainly do recognize the Lord at that point in a way we don't. So I think that's in there a little bit. Scene 3. Jesus convinces the 11 and the rest. While they were still talking about this, so now the two have gone back and they're with everybody else. This is still Sunday evening, Easter Sunday evening. Jesus stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and frightened, thinking they saw a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you troubled? Why do doubts rise in your minds? Look at my hands and my feet. It is I, myself. Touch me and see. A ghost does not have flesh and bones, as you see I have." And when he had said this, he showed them his hands and feet. And while they still did not believe because of joy and amazement, it was too good to be true, he asked them, "Do you have anything here to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate it in their presence. And he said to them, This is what I told you while I was still with you. Everything must be fulfilled that is written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms. And then he opened their minds so they could understand the scriptures. He told them, "This is what is written. The Messiah will suffer and rise from the dead on the third day, and repentance for the forgiveness of sins will be preached in his name to all the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. I'm going to send you what my Father promised, but stay in the city until you have been clothed with power from on high." The followers of Jesus were not easy to convince. They thought he was a ghost, a spirit, a vision. They doubted. They knew that this doesn't happen, where dead people, dead and buried, get up and walk around. And Jesus had to convince them. He had to do whatever it took to convince them, because they were going to carry the message. And if he did not convince them, the gospel stopped right there in that room. He needed whatever it took to convince them. They needed to go out and say, "Jesus rose from the dead and we know it." They needed to be 100% convinced, and he did what it took to convince them. There's an idea around that in the ancient world, people could believe in someone being raised from the dead because they were ignorant. But now that we have science, we know better that Jesus could not have risen. That is a naive and arrogant view. The assumption that we are wise and the ancients were fools. Have nothing to do with that. We know stuff they didn't know. They know a lot of stuff we don't know. They're just people and they weren't fools. Don't do that. They were not fools. They were hard to persuade, and that is good for us. That is all to our favor. Because all these details are written in here because this has become our story, and we need to know that Jesus rose and how those people figured it out. And he doesn't say when their hearts are doubting. He doesn't say just believe. There's none of that in here. There's none of that just believe. Take a look, touch me, smell me, watch me chew, listen to me chew, get close to me. Then he explains the scriptures. So he's dealing with the heart problem by opening their minds and their eyes and their ears and the sense of touch. That's how he deals with the heart doubts. Because this has to really work. The tomb really has to be empty, and that body has to be alive for the gospel to work. And whatever it took Jesus to convince them, he did it. And we get the details because this is important for us. This is the bedrock of our faith, and we're supposed to get this. That it's good for us that they were hard to convince. That's actually very good for us, and it's good for the gospel. And once Jesus had convinced them that he had flesh and blood, and that they watched him eat food, then he did the same as with the two on the road. He explained about the scriptures. Okay, so Jesus got two things done that evening with his followers. One, he showed them that he was bodily risen from the dead. They could touch him and see him and watch him eat. Two, he showed them from the scriptures, this is no surprise. The scriptures have been saying this all along. My biggest surprise this week, going over Luke 24, was how much there was in this chapter about the scripture. How slow to believe all that the prophets have spoken. I'm summarizing. Beginning with Moses and the prophets, he explained the scriptures about himself. And they say, weren't our hearts burning when he opened the scriptures to us? And then with the bigger group, I told you everything must be fulfilled that was written about me in the law of Moses and the prophets and the Psalms. And he opened their minds so they would understand the scriptures. He told them, this is what is written, that the Messiah would suffer, would rise, and would be preached. Knowing that Jesus had risen from the dead was not enough. That was the first half. The second half was they needed to know how this fit in with their Bible, which is the Old Testament. On that first Easter Sunday, Jesus was mostly a Bible teacher. With the disciples on the road to Emmaus and with the 12, he was an Old Testament teacher. That's what he needed to show them he was alive, and he needed to teach them their scripture, which was the Old Testament. I think this is why Jesus only appeared to his followers. He does not want his resurrection being announced by those who do not understand how this fits in with the scriptures. The scripture Alan read. This is how Paul summarizes the gospel. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And he was buried and he rose from the dead the third day according to the scriptures. That's the gospel that Paul preached everywhere. In other words, even if you don't know what the scriptures are, you know, you can't understand the death and the resurrection unless you understand what the Old Testament is doing about Jesus. If you want to know what Jesus actually taught about the Old Testament, read the first half of Acts. All those sermons are full of Old Testament stuff. And they spend basically the next 2 years telling everybody what Jesus told them on this day. So we do all get it all by the time we have gotten and in other places in the New Testament. We can believe that Christ rose from the dead without knowing the Old Testament story. But we can't understand his death and resurrection without knowing the Old Testament story. That's Jesus' opinion of these things. The conclusion and the blessing and the ascension. When he had led them out to the vicinity of Bethany, this would be some later day, this is not the same day, he lifted up his hands and he blessed them. And while he was blessing them, he left them and was taken up into heaven. And then they worshipped him, returned to Jerusalem with great joy, and they stayed continually at the temple, praising God. That doesn't need any help. From the start, the apostles preached Christ's resurrection. Above all, they followed Jesus because God raised him from the dead. God had proved something about Jesus. This Jesus is the one person on earth that I, the maker of heaven and earth, have selected and held up. Listen to what he says and put your hope in him. The resurrection accomplished that for them. Let's pray. Our Father, our God in heaven, this is the gospel that was preached to us. This is the gospel we received. On this gospel we have taken our stand. By this gospel we will be saved if we hold firmly. Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures. And he was buried and he rose from the dead according to the scriptures. And then he convincingly appeared to his followers. And repentance for the forgiveness of sins has been preached to the nations, and it has come right up to us in this room this morning. That story has been told for 2,000 years, and we have received forgiveness of sins. And we remind ourselves of these things with joy, God. We worship you. We worship you, Jesus our Lord. We thank you for the promised Spirit who helps us powerfully so we can act and speak faithfully before you. Amen.